What a wonderful day it is to gather together to celebrate this Feast of Trumpets and all the feasts of God. Because when you really understand the feast in the light of Jesus Christ, you come to understand that God is showing you a plan. He's sharing with you His purposes. He's sharing with you what He's doing and what He's accomplishing through His Son, Jesus. Now, through all these feasts, we see the power of Jesus Christ, what God is accomplishing. We begin with Sabbath, right? Every seventh day, we remember that we have a Creator. We remember that we were slaves in this world, and we remember that we were freed by Jesus Christ, that we have a day to rest. And so He says, 6 days you shall work and do all your labor. The seventh day is the Sabbath. In it you shall rest. Then we celebrated Passover. And we remember that God appointed Jesus to die for us, to redeem us by His own blood, so that we could be alive in Him, that we could be freed, that we could be His children. And we celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that newness of life that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we celebrated Him being raised from the dead, and we celebrated us being resurrected with Him. And as we were buried with Him in death, so we've been raised with Him in newness of life. And we celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then we counted, right? We counted 50 to the day of Pentecost. And we counted to a point where we celebrate the giving of the Holy Spirit, the guarantee of eternal redemption, and that we, friends, have eternal redemption, that God is bringing forth His first fruits. You've been called to be first fruits. If you know this message now, if you're hearing the calling of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're being called to be first fruits. And this day, today, this Feast of Trumpets celebrates something that is yet to come, something that is in the future, something that has a meaning for us today, but it points us to the great return of Jesus Christ. God does not want us to be ignorant about what He's doing. He wants us to have knowledge of it. Leviticus 23, with all these feasts listed out, is a chapter that shows the plan of God. When you read it through the eyes of Jesus Christ, you begin to see what God is doing, and you begin to have reason to hope. Hope that there is a plan. Hope that there is a purpose. That all this life and all the things that we see, that God is going to bring it to a culmination. And God is going to bring it to a purpose that He has determined. And friends, He wants you to be aware of this purpose. So let's begin now by turning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to get right to it. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. You know, I only say that for about 10,000 verses. But still, these are some of the best right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I can still remember the first time I really read and understood these words. I hope that you will be excited about what we read here as well. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren. I want you, when you read the words of the Bible and you come to a celebration like we have today, you have to see it through the eyes of Christ and to realize you've been brought to a fellowship. A fellowship that we have in Jesus to share things together. So when somebody says, I don't want you to be ignorant, I don't want you to be without knowledge, I want you to understand what's happening, that's a very precious thing, isn't it? When God says, I want you to know what's going on. Amen. I love that about God, that He's not trying to hide this. He's trying to share it. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. It could be translated, those who have died. What happens when you die? Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we celebrated that in Passover and Unleavened Bread, the times when He died, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or those who are dead. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah. See, we don't have to have sorrow as others do. Our comfort is in this message that Christ is coming, that those who have died will be raised from the dead, that those who live will be raised up with them. And we have it, as he says here, by the word of the Lord. Notice again verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord. This is God's voice. This is God's message. Speaking of this time of his return, speaking of this time of the trumpet, and the trumpet of God, as it says in verse 16. Now this day in Leviticus 23 is called a day of the memorial of trumpets. And as we spoke about a few weeks ago, there is a memorial of trumpets, a remembrance of what trumpets mean, a remembrance of what trumpets picture, a remembrance of the meaning that God has for you and me in them today. And I want us to really meditate on this. I want you to gain a vision and a picture according to the Bible today. Do you see this time? This time when you will rise up to meet the Lord in the air? Do you have this hope in you that you will leave this earth and that you will rise up to meet Him? Do you believe in that? Are you ready for that? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to add a little more to this now. Kids have done a wonderful job reading scriptures and doing the memory verses today for the Feast of Trumpets. It was very impressive. And all those worship songs that we sang so many of these verses that we're going to read today. 1 Corinthians 15, I want to pick it up here in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, this is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. This I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So realize that when you rise up from the dead, you have to be changed in order to inherit the kingdom of God. This flesh and this blood, it says, cannot inherit it. So when you think about your life in the kingdom of God, realize we have a citizenship in heaven, but we don't inherit it until we are changed to the moment of our resurrection. So this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. Okay? So again, I don't want you to be ignorant. I'm telling you something. People don't understand this. When you read these verses with the power of the Holy Spirit leading you, guiding you, and teaching you, you begin to understand something that is a mystery to the world. Most people don't grab onto this. I want you to see this and read it and believe it and hold on to it, that this be your hope. That this be something that you could share with someone else. This is the reason that I have such great hope. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Again, referring to death. But we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Now that's interesting, because that means if it was the last trumpet, there's preceding trumpets, right? For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So now I want you to put this together with what we read in 1 Thessalonians 4. Is it consistent? Yeah, he said he would descend, right, with the trumpet, with the voice of an archangel, right? He said that it would be at the trumpet, and that he would come, and the dead in Christ would rise first, and any who are alive and remain would be changed, and they would follow, right? The dead first, we don't precede it. And then Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 15 that at the last trump, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and then we shall be changed. Do you have a vision of that? Do you have a vision of that? I want you to think about what is going to happen. This is the hope of those of us who believe in Jesus now, who believe in His Word, that this is what's going to happen. There's no reason for us to sorrow about those who have died in Christ, because we know that they're promised at His return, they will be raised from the dead. And we know that if we are alive and remain, we won't precede those who have died, but we shall also be changed at that time, at the return of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to focus a bit on when is the time? Because I think that creates part of the landscape that we need in our vision as well. What are you seeing in terms of time? We read about the last trumpet because we have this time of the trumpets. Now, we spoke a few weeks ago about the seven trumpets that you can find in the book of Revelation. I highly encourage you, if you want to understand better the things that we're now going to talk about, read Revelations. Just read the whole book. But if you want me to narrow it down, start in chapter 4 and go to the end of the book. You can skip the first three. But no, really just read the whole thing. Scott always says, I always add more, but I don't know how you understand it if you don't read the whole thing. It's all good stuff, and it's all helping you understand these end time events. But the seven trumpets that are spoken of in Revelation are actually coming out of these seals that only one could open. You might remember, if you've read the book before, the book of Revelation, that John was sad because nobody was worthy to open the seal, to begin a process. But then one was found, and it was the Lamb of God.
Hallelujah.
Jesus Christ, the Creator, who gave His life for us, was worthy to open the scroll, to open the seals. And so we begin to look at these seals now, because what He's talking about before we get to the trumpets are some interesting events that are going to take place. Now notice this, the first seal is opened. One is given a crown and sent forth to conquer. Seal number two, one is sent forth to remove peace from the earth that people would kill each other. There's going to be war. Seal number three, food becomes very expensive, scarce, because there's a famine. Seal four, power given over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, hunger, and disease. Fifth seal, the saints to rest until the number of those who would be killed was completed. In other words, people die. Christians die. They're martyred here in the fifth seal. The sixth seal, a great earthquake. The sun turns black. The moon turns red. Stars fall. Even the great fear God's wrath. I wanted to start with the seals before we even get to the trumpets, because you realize there's some things that are happening that are very visible to anyone who is on the earth. Before you can get to the time of the gathering of 1 Thessalonians 4, before you get to the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15, there are things that must take place. You have to know these things. I promise you, if you and I are living in the time of the end, you need to know these things. Because if you don't, it would be possible to deceive even the very elect by some of the things that are going to occur. You have to be able to know the truth to see through the fiction. You have to know the true prophecy so you can easily and quickly reject the false. And if you don't know what's true, you're going to believe what's false. You're going to be carried about by every wind of doctrine that comes along. And you know why? Because you want this to happen. I want it to happen too. I want Jesus to come today. I really do. I wish He would come today. He's not coming today, friends. Not coming today. And I will prove it to you. You have to know the signs. These things aren't happening. This is the sixth seal. Now, notice the trumpets. The first trumpet. A third of all the earth's vegetation is struck. That's pretty huge, isn't it? That's a major event. That's a very distressing thing, isn't it? To think about a third of the earth's vegetation being struck. Second trumpet. A third of all sea creatures and ships destroyed. Major event. So these are some pretty big things. Are you still thinking about this? Are you developing a vision in your mind now to the coming return of Jesus Christ at the last trumpet? We're at the second trumpet right here. These are things that are going to be happening preceding the trumpet that will call you up to meet the Lord in the air. Don't be ignorant about these things. There'll be all types of men, and we will see the words of Jesus later in this message, that there will be all manner of people that will come to you with a different message on this. Don't you believe it. Just believe the truth. The third trumpet, a third of fresh water becomes poisonous, killing people. It's a major event. We have three huge events here. Third trumpet, fourth trumpet, a third of the sun, moon, and stars are darkened, no light on a third of the day. Say, that's a major part of this vision in Revelation, isn't it?
Amen.
It's big. This is a big deal. Fifth trumpet. Now, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets in the book of Revelation are called the three woes. The three woes. Because you think it's bad now with what we've discussed? It gets worse. It gets worse. Fifth trumpet. Mankind tormented for 5 months, and those who seek death can't find it. The book of Revelation says that a key to the bottomless pit is given to the destroyer, who opens the pit and releases these creatures that go to torture for 5 months. That's just the first woe. Here's the blessing. Do you know what it also says about this woe? It says that those who are the children of God have a seal on their foreheads so that they can not do any harm to them. Children of God are protected from these creatures that cause this pain and torment on the earth. So you want to be there. It's a very interesting thing. When you are baptized into Christ's death, when you are raised in newness of life, when you are filled with the Spirit, it says you receive the Spirit of God, you receive the seal of God. You bear His name. And where His name is, they can do no harm. The sixth trumpet. One third of mankind is killed. When is the resurrection? When are those called up, gathered up? The last trump. So now in your mind, if you would be one of those who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord, how has your vision been impacted? You see, you have to take these into consideration too. The seals. First trumpet, second trumpet, third trumpet, fourth, fifth, six. What is going on the earth? You talk about things that will shake out those who are faithful from those who are unfaithful. If you can, in a vision in your mind, begin to think about what is this, a third of the earth burned up, a third of the sea creatures dead, a third of mankind killed? Do you realize the distress that is going to be going on this earth preceding the last trumpet? If it's possible, you're going to be shaken out of your faith. If it's possible, you're going to let it go because these things are so terrible and so hugely violent on the earth and so distressing. But this is what's prophesied to come. And then that glorious seventh trumpet blows and it says, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of Jesus Christ. It's a glorious time. Because what does it say happens at the last trump? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be changed. It's an awesome time of victory for those who have looked to Christ. But it comes in the midst of a lot of pain, a lot of distress, a lot of turmoil. You know, it's very interesting when the major prophets, the minor prophets wrote about this time. Do you know what they likened it to? They likened it to a woman in birth pains. All right? Ladies, if you've had a baby, you should have a real good idea what this is about. Having watched my wife, I wanted the drugs the last time. I wanted to be out of the misery of it. I did not enjoy being with her. She said I had to go through it with her. I was distressed. She was blaming me for lots of things. I mean, there was all this anxiety, all this stress, all this, oh, what's going to happen? Oh, it feels so uncertain. All the pain is so great. The crying, the tears, oh, please. And for each of you, you know, some of you ladies maybe have like really easy childbirths. I don't think we really got one. I mean, stuff pushes them out quick, but they just, it's like you get all the tribulation real fast. You have all this pain and all this, oh, honey, I just want you to be better. Oh, honey, I just want you, you know, what can I do? What can I do to help? And there's not a lot you can do. It's just all this pain and stress and trial and tribulation. And then through that, even in some of the worst of it, and hearing the cries and seeing the tears a baby is born. It's such a beautiful thing. It is such a beautiful thing. When you get to the moment when the baby is born, and you realize for our Father who is bringing many sons to glory, this is what the earth will be to Him. It will be in trial. It will be in tribulation. There will be tears. There will be sorrow. There will be pain. And then this beautiful last trumpet sounds, and children are born from the dead. You know, it says that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. And all those who are dead will be born from the dead then, at the return of Jesus at that seventh trump. And you realize that the blessing it will be for those who are alive and remaining in experiencing all of this, to be caught up, seeing this all around, and to be caught up into the air. What a beautiful thing that'll be. Our Father bringing sons to glory. But the trouble on the earth isn't stopped. What also happens is the bowls of wrath, the battle at Armageddon. Notice what will happen even after they're raised, all of us saints. First bowl of wrath of God, severe sores upon all who have the mark of the beast and worship His image. See, this wrath of God is coming. It's going to be very terrible. You're going to be glad that you were caught up, because it's bad. The second bowl of wrath. The sea becomes blood and every sea creature dies. Okay? Now, did you kind of notice what God is doing? In the seals, it's bad. In the trumpets, it's really bad. And in the bowls of wrath, it becomes extremely bad, right? It just gets worse. I mean, what will this be like? The sea becomes blood. Every sea creature dies. The third bowl of wrath, all the rivers and streams of fresh water become blood. The fourth bowl of the wrath of God, men are scorched by the sun by its great heat. The fifth bowl of wrath, darkness falls on the kingdom of the beast. The sixth bowl of the wrath of God, the Euphrates is dried up to prepare the way for the battle at Mount Megiddo. The seventh bowl of wrath, it is done. Noises, thunderings, lightnings, the greatest earthquake in the history of mankind. Islands flee, mountains are not found, and great hail falls. Those are the bowls of wrath. And then the battle of Armageddon. And it says that Christ comes with all His saints with Him to take over all the kingdoms of this world and to usher in a new reign with Christ. You can read about this in Revelation 19 and 20. Read about that reign of Jesus Christ that's coming. As you've looked at these seals, these trumpets, these bowls of wrath with me here, do you have a vision of where you fit? Do you see where you fit in the history of events? Do you see how this is going to happen? I want you to turn with me now to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Beginning in verse 3, Jesus' disciples said, "Tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" That's a great question, isn't it? Jesus, when are you coming back? When is the end of the age? When are these things? Jesus said, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Now, isn't that interesting? He doesn't just directly answer the question, well, here's when it's going to happen, or this is the sign. He begins by saying, "Take heed that no one deceive you." Why? Exactly. Why? Because deceivers are going to come with all different scenarios and stories to shake you. I want you to be firm in your faith, firm in your understanding, firm in your knowledge of what's taking place. That's why we're going through it step by step. "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Verse 6, "And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. All these things must come to pass. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Did any of that to you sound similar to those seals we read about? Do you remember the seals? Did any of that sound similar? Because what Jesus is talking about, remember, Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. What Jesus was telling his disciples was of the revelation of himself, of Jesus Christ. But notice now these seals, crown, conquer, right? Kill people, there's war, famine, right? Sword, hunger, death, disease. Does that sound similar to what Jesus said? It's the beginning. It's the beginning of sorrows. Okay? But it's well before we even get to the trumpets. So Jesus is saying, the end's not yet. Then they will deliver you. I'm back to Matthew 24, verse 9. They will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, there's been martyrdom of saints probably in every generation. Sometimes we look at prophecy through an American viewpoint, right? We haven't been martyred here, so somehow the martyrdoms other places don't apply.
Amen.
Well, there's been martyrdoms in every generation. But you have to wonder if it's just going to get worse. But to tell somebody they would never be martyred, that would be a mistake. That somehow they'll be whisked away and they won't face that, it's a mistake. Friends, martyrdom's going on right now in countries. There's an organization called, I think it's the Cry of Martyrs. They actually document cases of Christian persecution and Christian martyrdom that's going around the world each month so that you can pray about it, know about it. Just because it's not happening here, don't think it's not happening. Try not to view prophecy through United States eyes. It's a mistake. Verse 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Verse 15. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Then let him who is on the housetop not go to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. Great tribulation. Now, I want you to look at this again. So we have the martyrdom we read about here in Matthew, right? Seal number 5. See that? You see the similarities? Once you see, these are all talking about the same thing. Later, I'll show you that this is also talking about another part of the Bible. Great earthquake. Angels given the 7 trumpets. Now notice, a third of all the earth's vegetation is struck. A third of all the sea creatures and ships are destroyed. A third of fresh water becomes poisonous, killing people. A third of the sun, moon, stars, and darken. No light, a third of the day. Now I want to read further on here, because he just said there's going to be tribulation so bad. It was never seen before, it'll never be seen again. Verse 22, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I told you beforehand. Now, I want you to realize this and put this in your vision of the end time, because here's what's going to happen. As time goes on, one of the great prophecies of the end times is the deceiver, the false prophets, the false Christs. You miss the rapture. They're gone. They're out in the desert. They've already taken off, left behind. Some secret thing happens and people are whisked away and somehow you missed it. But Jesus has come again. Already he's out there in the desert. Or he's with the saints over here. It's already happened. And people will do signs and wonders and miraculous signs. Do you realize if there's all these events going on in the world, and then people say there's this rapture that takes place, and they're whisked away somehow, and you missed it. And then they're saying, but look, we are the children. We will do miracles, and we'll show you these mighty signs and wonders to show you what happened. Do you get a sense of how powerful this will be? Because our core, friends, whether we really like it or not, is what goes on the earth. We're better and happier when the earth's not shaken. We're happier when vegetation's all growing. Look what happens, how people react when we get the California fires or the fires in Texas. Isn't it very distressing? What we've read about here today is way bigger. So think about the distress. The fire's here. The vegetation's burned up. The sea creatures. This is going on. There's wars going on. There's deceiving things. Oh, and here comes people doing miracles. Do you realize they'll be looked at as the heroes and the Savior? Unless they know the truth that they're supposed to come. Do you see this? You have to have this in your heart. Because if not, you're going to be deceived. It says here that if possible, it would deceive even the very elect. Because you're looking for the signs in all the wrong times and places. You're thinking it's one thing when it's quite another. And it's sad because it will happen. Back to verse 25. So see, I've told you these things beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert, don't go out there. Look, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. I want you to put a marker here in Matthew 24. I want you to turn with me over to the book of Luke chapter 21 and verse 7. This is the same conversation that we're reading about in Matthew, but I like a little detail that Luke puts in here, and I want to pick up on it. Luke chapter 21, verse 7. So they asked him, saying, Teacher, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? He said, Take heed that you be not deceived. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. I want to pick up on the phrase, the time has drawn near. Friends, you don't need somebody to tell you when the time has drawn near. God says, don't go after them when they come with that message to you. Because the message is in the signs. The voice of proclamation is in the trumpets. It's telling you when. Will you listen to man or will you listen to God? I don't give heed to false teaching that I know is false. If I researched out every false teaching and every false prophet that has ever come to me and researched everything they do, do you realize how much time I would be wasting? You don't need to focus on the false when you already have the true. And if the false conflicts with the true, cast out the false and keep the true. I can tell very quickly if you're onto something, because if somebody tells me Jesus is coming today, guess what? What about trumpet number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? They didn't happen. It's not happening. Because the time of my call and the time of your call as a believer happens at the last trump. So when someone comes with a message and a story, friends, there's always a story. You got to reject it by the Word of God. Jesus repeats, do not be deceived. I'm telling you this beforehand. You've got to listen to me because you're going to be deceived if you don't. And I'm telling you by the Word of the Lord, in Matthew 24, there will be deceivers who come. There will be those who will say, it's the time. And unless you see these things happening, you have to say, false. And quit wasting your time with it. And quit getting worked up over it, because it's false. Amen. Is Jesus true or not? Because if He's not the one you're following, then why are you here? You've got to believe the truth. This is it. The message has been written. The times have been written. Revelation is clear. Matthew is clear. Luke is clear. Mark is clear. Joel is clear. Zephaniah is clear. They all tell you when it's going to happen. Believe the Bible. Don't believe me. Read it for yourself. It's already worked out. We're just figuring it out because God's sharing it with us. So we have to believe this. We have to be strong in faith to understand. So back to verse 8. If they say the time has drawn near, therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. For these things must come to pass first. And the end will not immediately come. Then he said, nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, in famines and pestilences. There will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Sound like what we've been reading with the seals and the trumpets? Sounds like what we've been reading? Yes? Before all these things, they will lay hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and to prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By patience possess you your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. It's very interesting. It says in Revelation that the Gentiles will trample Jerusalem for 3.5 years. Here's what Jesus was talking about to John. There's this time where they trample the city. Now notice verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Do you have this vision in your head now? Then notice what he says. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And now notice his instruction to you and me. And when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads. Your redemption draws near. When is your redemption drawing near? Anybody? What do you got to see? You're going to see Christ, right? You see his coming. What comes before his coming? Trumpets. What are the people on the earth going to see? Pain, distress, fear, terror, destruction, widespread death. What else? Deception, signs in heavens, signs on earth, right? Destruction of earth, false prophets, sea creatures destroyed. A third of the sea creatures and ships. A third of the water, poison. I want you to think about these things, even if you can't read them. All right. I put them on a list because I want you to have in your mind the list. Because Jesus said, before I come, this is going to happen. 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 Don't let anybody deceive you. That's just the beginning. Then this is going to happen. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. Here, this, this. Not yet. This is going to happen. Then you'll see this. And then I'll come. So if you haven't checked off the list, either Jesus is not true, or he's not ready to come yet. That's what you have to be able to discern. Now, notice this in Luke. Luke again, chapter 21, Verse 27. So then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Now I want you to think about this next part, because Jesus, I love this parable. So notice what he says. Jesus spoke to them a parable and said, look at a fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. Verse 31. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. I want you to meditate on that. Because here's your budding tree that tells you that the summer of Christ is coming. You would know, right? When you see the weather getting a little cooler and you see your tree and you see the leaves starting to crinkle up and discolor and falling off, you know fall means winter's coming, right? And when you see the tree all barren without any leaves on it, and you start to see it working as the weather gets a little warmer and the sun's out a little longer, you know, hey, spring's coming. And when it starts to bud, summer's coming. If it looks like, wait a minute, these things that precede the coming of Christ aren't happening, we must be somewhere in winter. I don't know where we are, friends. What I do know is that the signs are for you and me to read. You don't need me to tell you. I shouldn't have to tell you. They're all right here. If you believe this, you won't be deceived by people that come and say, now's the time. Now's the time. So you have to believe what it says. Now notice what he says back here in Matthew 24. Just to clarify, I want you to notice how specific Jesus is about this, because there would be those that would say, well, no, there's going to be this time where you're whisked away before the tribulation. Well, I want you to notice what it says. First of all, 27. For as lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. What tribulation was he talking about? Right back up in verse 21. There will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So you have this great tribulation. Never been anything like it. Could we agree that the seals, the trumpets, nothing ever been like that? Right? That's amazing stuff going on. Because it's not just even like Noah's flood. You're talking about stuff in the heavens, stuff on the earth, stuff going on with human beings. It's all going on. Right? Very distressing, very trying time. So, again, verse 29. So, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Why will they be gathering them at this trumpet from the four winds of heaven to the other? Because when the trumpet sounds, the dead rise first. Those who are alive and remain rise, and they will be gathered together to meet him in the air. And as it says in Thessalonians, thus we shall always be with the Lord. When is 1 Thessalonians 4 happening? After all the tribulation. When is it coming? When you see men's hearts failing, as it says in Luke, for great distress. That's when your time of redemption is near. All the signs, all the wonders take place. So friends, read what it says. Believe what it says. Appreciate the prophecies that have been given to us very plainly. And use that as the standard by which you measure everyone else. Every word, every message, every teaching. It has to fit here. This is when it happens. And I want you to think about that time. Friends, the greatest event we're looking for now is the return of Jesus. Passover, unleavened bread, Pentecost had so much to do with His first coming. Trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, the eighth day, so much to do with His second coming. The great coming of Jesus Christ. He is coming, friends. We need to be looking for Him. And the admonishment we receive is this: to watch and pray always. It means be spiritually alert, spiritually diligent. Where do you focus your efforts? On watching your conduct, watching your life, watching your marriage, your family, your children, your business, doing all to the glory of God. Because when He comes, that's what He wants to find you doing. He wants to find you walking in His ways. That's what He's searching for. Seek Him with all your heart. Bless the Lord God Almighty, for the promise is true to us today. Jesus is coming. He's coming again.